Good morning, everybody. Please turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12 in your Bible, or turn to page 982 in the Bibles provided for you. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
So last week, I mentioned a comedian who told us that raising children is hell. And this is our family about 15 years ago. Things were so bad, I'd lost my hair. Christy turned blonde. Things were pretty rough. Okay, maybe you don't believe me. But see, this is the perfect family. This is us, and nothing ever goes wrong in this family. I grew my hair back, and Christy became brunette. Okay, that's not true either. Our family's not perfect. So whether you are thinking about children sometimes this way or this way, the reality for both is true. Some days raising children is just like pulling teeth. Other days it's just an incredible blessing. When you pick your kid up from the car, you get home late that night, and you pick them up, and they just hug you. And then the next morning they admit, you know, Daddy, I wasn't really asleep. I just wanted you to carry me in. Your heart just melts. Or is some of those ages where your kids don't want to be seen with you, or no matter how you dress, it's just not cool. Or your kids... Teenager is supposed to be, but the teenager says, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Have a good night. It's a blessing. Both sides are true. And in just like families, we don't always communicate fully. Imagine if I said, well, Mom told me we're going to Chanute. And my sister said, no. Dad told me we're going to stop in Cherryvale and visit some people and then go to Chanute. So did my mom lie to me? No. Sometimes you don't get the full picture. Sometimes this isn't the full picture. Sometimes this isn't the full picture. Sometimes what Mom tells you is just a little more involved than what Dad tells you, or vice versa. But it's still unity. It's still a blessing. And it's important to understand that sometimes there's great difficulty in the midst of great joy. Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, studying some difficult scripture on all sides, for spouses, for children, for parents, for churches that sometimes have an inner turmoil, Lord, let us take these words of love and humility to heart as we come before you, Lord, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So submission is pretty much a dirty word in the church to some, not to others. And, you know, the question is, should a wife submit to her husband? And does it look all picturesque like this? Or is it more like this? This is how most people would see the issue. So let's dive in, 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So last week and a couple of weeks before, we've been talking about slavery, women, men, children obeying different things like that. And so, are the words interchangeable And when you're talking about such difficult issues, they're just not popular verses. And everybody has an opinion, and we want to go back to Scripture, and how do we understand it? Now, even just reading what I read and showing this picture, some might consider me downright mean-spirited, a good old boy, a redneck, I support the patriarchy, or I'm a misogynist. And some of you aren't even sure what some of those words meant. But this is a hot topic. Misogyny basically just means you're against women. Patriarchy, when they use that term, means men should be in charge. And husbands, I'm glad I got no amens. James, did you hear that? He's right over there. It's a good thing you didn't hear. I mean, you don't want it. When I say women submit, we support the patriarchy, an amen isn't the right thing to say. You might get an elbow at the least. Okay, so I like to make this confession. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm an extremist. I'm a radical. I'm a revolutionary. I really believe God said it. I believe Scripture. God said it. I believe it. And that's it. Now, what did God say? Because I like to joke, you know, another fancy word. I'm not a pedantic fundamentalist. That means I'm not dogmatic. I'm not nitpicky. I'm not closed-minded. And some people think being a fundamentalist and being open-minded is contradictory. I don't think so. A fundamentalist means I believe something and I'm going to follow it. There's fundamentalistic Democrats, Republicans, Green Earthers, capitalists, socialists. I mean, that's just where they're at. And they can still be open-minded. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying they can be. I think I'm an open-minded fundamentalist. It's because the question is, what does God say? Now, if this is all we had, but it's not all we have, consider if the son listens to mom and says, we're going to Chanute, if that's all he had, if that's all he heard, he would be telling everyone they're going to Chanute. But the sister had some other information. She heard they were going to go to Cherryvale and stop and visit friends and maybe get a cherry limeade and then go to Chanute. So is that contradictory? No, just sometimes you have more information. Why didn't mom tell me more? I don't know. So, submission, a dirty word. What's going on here in 1 Peter? I'd like to do a little digress, a sidebar. We're going to get to 1 Peter 5:5, and it says this, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And it's literally talking young men, submit to the older males, or just the younger boys and girls, younger men, submit to your elders, women and men. You know, I've never heard a sermon preached on that. I've never walked up to a 40-year-old, and I can walk up to a 40-year-old now and say, hey, listen, you got to do it my way. I'm older. I've never heard a sermon on that. I've never heard any controversy on that. Why is it we as a church get so bent out of shape on the women's issue and feel like we have to either explain it or defend it or say what's going on here, but the other one we don't? See, here's my rub. Sometimes we pick and choose, and we shouldn't do that. So what's going on here? Well, the issue of submission is difficult. Ephesians also talks about it. It's written by Paul. You got Peter and Paul. Peter's writing 1 Peter, of course. Paul doesn't get any books named after himself, but he writes to the Ephesians. And in 21 through 22, it tells husbands and wives to submit to each other. And some people say, well, that's in the church versus the home. Or maybe it's in general. But basically, he tells husbands and wives to submit to each other. And then he kind of digresses and reemphasizes women to submit and tell husbands to love their wives, which doesn't negate the first command in Ephesians, wives and husbands submit to each other. So why isn't the full issue laid out here? I don't know. Peter doesn't get into it as much. Just kind of like, mom tells me we're going to Chanute, dad says we're going to Cherryvale and Chanute. But why doesn't Peter get into it as much? one thing, they're writing to different groups and different people. And we have to remember, the Bible isn't an employee manual or handbook. It's not a textbook. It is what we call epistles. Epistles are written to larger groups of people and usually are giving instruction as well as in greetings, where a letter is generally written to one person and generally is a little more personal. Epistles can still be personal, but they're written to a larger audience. So we have to understand what's going on, and I think some things are different here. Because it says, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So it would seem here, he's at a church, or he's talking to churches up in this Asia Minor area, which is Turkey, and a lot of the women are saved and they have unsaved husbands. And so he's telling them how to live, how to win them over, how to act towards an unbelieving husband. So it's kind of a special connotation. Probably there's saved husbands in the church here too, but predominantly most of the couples are women living with unsaved men. Now, here's something to understand. In this Greco-Roman world, if you were a man, whatever your religion was, that became the religion of the household. Your servants, your slaves, your children, your wives, they didn't get a choice. This was like during the Reformation with Luther in Europe in the 15, 1600s. If the city became Catholic, you became Catholic. If your husband became Catholic, you became Catholic. If the city became Protestant, you did. If your husband did, you did. It's a different world. It's a different way of doing things. So think about this. Peter doesn't tell the wife to obey her husband. Now, you need to follow him. You can say, well, we're supposed to obey and submit as long as it's of God, but you can use that for any excuse. But here he is. He's like, you submit, you be considerate of him, but you don't give up the faith. You keep the faith. Because most people would have expected Peter to say, now, hey, look, your husband's a polytheist and loves Apollo, you have to do the same. And he doesn't. Keep the faith. And then he goes on in verse 3, your beauty should come from your outward adornment, not elaborate hairstyle, wearing gold jewelry, fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner spirit, the unfading beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. You know, we don't get to pick and choose. And we as a church don't go around telling women or even men how to dress. So if you really want to be picky about it, we just believe Scripture. Is he telling us to tell you how to dress? No, the big issue is here, look, people, have it be a heart issue. And, you know, dress can be a sign of wealth and showing off. And he's like, don't do that. Because how much hairdo is too much? How much jewelry is too much? How expensive can your clothes be? Do you really want a pastor, an overseer, deciding those things? I don't. Because that's not the issue here. Just like the issue is in women blindly submitting to men and obeying them. It's not a thing against nice things. It's just, it's a hard issue of not trying to show off. Rather, you should be reflecting Christ, and people should see that before your clothes. You know, classic examples when you had a pastor who was shaking around his Rolex. Or I talked about these pastors were basically having tennis shoe contests. And there was, what tennis shoes were they wearing in the pulpit? One guy was wearing $2,000 tennis shoes. And it was kind of a status symbol, like, you know, our pastor has better tennis shoes than your pastor. How about our pastor can maybe preach? Yeah. I mean, but that happens. So then in verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So here he actually does talk about obey. And when you go back to read this story of Sarah and Abraham, here's what's funny. It didn't end well. Her listening to him wasn't the smartest thing she could have done that day. It was kind of a mess. And here's the other thing. How do I see the Old Testament? I see it through the grid of the New Testament. They're together. They're not separate. Nowhere in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is supposed to be the God that's really, really hardcore. Women are never told to submit in the Old Testament. It's a patriarchal world. And the Bible doesn't reinforce it. And in fact, the Bible often honors women in many ways that that society would never have backed. So, a simple topic. Well, it's not. It's really kind of hard. And then in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Okay, weaker partner. To me, the connotation is obvious. My dad understood this. You could say my dad was a patriarch, or you could say he was pretty egalitarian. He was all in the men, but it's amazing how he treated the sisters, my sisters and his daughters, as equal to the men. Now, some things seemed unfair. My sister sometimes had a fight to get to a curfew of midnight. I didn't. Was my dad unfair? You could say that, but here's something else. Think about this. This is reality. My dad understood my sister, his daughter, was more vulnerable in ways than I was. He knew that. That's not against women. That's not patriarchal. He just understood the dynamics of men and women and who's more vulnerable. Now, I shouldn't have to even say this, but I do in today's world. Men are obviously, in general, stronger, more physically, and dominant physically than women. Yes, there's elite athletes who could make me look bad on the basketball court, but basically the average woman versus the average man, 99-1, men will dominate in physical strength and can be sexually dominant and abusive where women aren't. There are abusive wives to their husbands, but it's the rarity. It is generally the men who are. My father understood this. Peter understands this. So he says, be considerate. And what is he saying here by being considerate? Because he doesn't use the word submission. You know, and the word in the Greek New Testament has the nuance of knowledge of her. Understanding her. So the point is, consider her thoughts and feelings. Her desires and wants. Not just what you want, but you consider her. Now here's the funny thing. Kind of sounds like submission. Paul uses in the book of Ephesians both words for both. Peter doesn't here. But it literally means the same thing. Today, we look at a submission as being a bad thing. And when you look at a picture like this, yeah, we get it. But I believe it's really calling for equality when you read the full text and the full scripture. Here's what's ironic. So when you use that word today, women get offended. Back then, when they read this, the man was offended. I'm supposed to consider her. I'm supposed to love her. I'm supposed to submit to her too. Are you crazy, Peter? Are you crazy, Paul? I'm a man. I don't consider my wife's feelings. She's like, okay, she's a step up from a slave. You know why they had women? For legitimate children. Not love. I mean, they were chattel. They were property. And it's sometimes in the Greco-Roman world, if a husband, this is maybe a little strong, killed her, it would be overlooked. And if he beat her, it was death. Well, she probably deserved it. That was their mentality. And here, Paul says, love her, submit to her. And here, Peter says, consider her. I mean, the men might have been like, yeah, I'm not so sure this church thing's for me. And Paul says, have a one-woman man. You don't get to fool around anymore. A Greek man, a Roman man could just fool around, and she was supposed to just accept it. So they hear these words, they're the ones that offended. So relationships are important. Everything happens within relationships. And now we're in the spouses, and he goes more general, and it's really equal for both sides. And it's really the power of love and humility. Finally, all of you, that would include everyone in the church, husbands and wives, all the people, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. You know, another way of saying they will know you are Christians by your love. They'll know you're followers of Jesus Christ by your love. You know, here's the thing. You can pick your friends. You generally can't pick your family, and you can't pick your fellow church members. We don't have greeters at the door saying, nope, you can't come in. There's that church down the road. We recommend you go there. We don't do that, or at least I better not find out we're doing that. You know, when certain people walk in the door, you show them your gun. You know, by the way, I'm carrying. We don't do that. So I'm not saying you put up with abuse, but I'm saying we do need to tolerate each other. We don't put up with inappropriate behavior, but sometimes we're just going to disagree. Some people, I know it's hard to imagine, rub people the wrong way. Some people maybe rub more people the wrong way than they should. But, you know, we always think it's that side of the church that has a problem, and that side of the church thinks that side of the church has a problem. But we're called to put up with each other, to be respectful, not just tolerate. Well, I'll tolerate them. It doesn't mean I have to like them or love them. Yeah, actually, sympathetic, like-minded, love one another, compassionate and humble. Yeah, you do. It's the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Think more highly of others than yourself. Be considerate. Yes, at times there's tension. And yes, at times people clash. People disagree. But our attitude shouldn't be, well, if I don't get my way, I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. You know that table I donated to the church? I'm taking it with me. I know it says do this in remembrance of me and it's all about communion and love, but I didn't get my way and I'm gone with it. He's going to set the things on the floor and leave in the name and love of Jesus Christ. No, I mean sarcastic. A few of you out there were wondering. We're called to work together, even when we don't get our way. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Work through our disagreements, forgive each other, ask for forgiveness. Not hold grudges. You know, odds are we agree on 90%, 95%. Us and other churches, we agree on 90%, 95%. And yet we will hone in on the 5% we disagree. Husbands and wives can have great relationships, and then they start just honing in on the small little problems, and it gets worse. No, realize how we agree. And it can be challenging. And then it really gets challenging. Do not repay evil with evil, insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. Okay, I'm just going to say this. That's not my opinion. This is scripture. This is one of those I love. You say it in King James, it means more. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith God. Kind of spelled G-O-W-D when you say it that way. It's God. It's the big guy. It's not me. It's Holy Scripture. If we are a part of the body of Christ, the church, we are to do what he says. I'm going to read it again. It's so mind-blowing. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to you this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongues from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Yesterday we were at a tournament, and these three boys, they all had the same uniforms on, were in the bathroom. I mean, one couldn't reach the soap. And I'm in there watching, and the older brother, he's pumping the soap for him. And, of course, he's reaching his hand up, and it goes all over him. You know, but they're taking care of each other. They have no idea what they're doing. but they're taking care of each other. And I walk out, and there's a lady waiting. I go, oh, they're just a hot mess in there. And she's like, I know. But I go, but they're doing okay. You know, it's kind of messed up sometimes, but they're taking care of each other. Yeah, sometimes we spill soap on each other. It gets messy. We don't always know what we're doing. But it was really neat to see those, I think two of them are brothers. I know they're all the same team. In there taking care of each other. It was like a microcosm of what we should be. Little children. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We are to seek peace. Yes, we're even to pursue it. Doesn't mean we'll let people abuse us. But it's like, I'm going to seek peace so we never even break out in war. I'm going to try to go out of my way to not be argumentative. Doesn't mean you back down. Doesn't mean you don't share your opinion. But it means we'll listen to each other. And if we have to agree to disagree, and even if I don't get my way, I'm still going to help. You know, Jesus said it in some different ways. Turn the cheek. You know, if someone slaps you on one side of the cheek, let them slap the other. Yeah, there's a literalness to it, but basically it was an issue of insult. If someone insults you, don't insult them back. You know, it's like, he called me dumb, and he's dumber than I am. It's a matter of opinion, but, you know, pointing it out is not going to really help. Be the bigger person. Say, okay, maybe I was wrong. I don't know, maybe we agree to disagree, but let's just leave it at that. You know, go the extra mile. The Jewish people were commanded by Rome, if a Roman soldier asked you to carry their luggage, their armor, for a mile, Jesus said, go two. Again, it's not being abusive, but it's like, let me show you the love of God. I'm going to bless you more than you would expect. And the Romans were their enemies. For the eyes of the Lord, in verse 12, are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now I'm going to make a controversial statement. This is my opinion of this. If we choose not to be humble, if we choose not to love each other and be like-minded, if we choose not to work with each other and hold grudges and be bitter, church splits, family splits, get mad and stay mad and be vindictive, lack humility and love, that's evil. I mean, in the context, he's mentioned all these things we do, and if we don't do it, we're against the Lord and we're evil. So this is a real challenge in the family, in the house, husbands and wives, in the church. All of it's all the same. It's not like we do one way in the family and another here. No, we're humble. We're compassionate. We're caring. We're like-minded. We consider others more than we consider ourselves. We submit to one another. So in times of civil unrest, political unrest, where they say, you don't have to visit with your family for Thanksgiving or Christmas if they don't agree with you. How stupid is that? No, the fact that we disagree with each other, we can still sit down together in the love of Christ, shows that we have the love of Christ. Church infighting, no. Yes, we must do and stand up for what we believe. But let us do so in a Christ-like manner. Finally, all of us, let us be like-minded. Let us be sympathetic. Let us love one another in compassion and humility. Let these things be. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, let our hearts share and reverberate with this scripture in our minds and in our souls. Lord, not that it means they have to reciprocate, but we will still act in a way that is Christ-like. Let us be a people of God following you, like-minded, sympathetic, loving one another, compassionate for each other, empathetic and humble, putting the needs of others, considering others more than ourselves. We pray this empowered by your Holy Spirit. In the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ, let these things be.
Amen.